with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! It's the 21st day of May, 2014. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. That's the little corner of the internet where we cuss and discuss. You'll find every day a selection of news stories for your consideration. I was remiss today in posting stories. We've been kind of going great guns all day long. Probably, you know, I could probably do without the gun references, couldn't I? Yes, I could. But anyway, Ferg and I have been at it pretty much since the very beginning of the morning. We he's sorting laundry right now. I don't know what the whoop was about. But no, we started out today. We started out today with a visit. Thanks to the diligence of and attentiveness of our buddy Harry in Baltimore, we were made aware of a single-payer health care panel that was being hosted by Senator Bernie Sanders today in one of the Senate meeting rooms. So we went to that. And then we paid calls between the end of that and the beginning at 4 o'clock this afternoon of the Wake Up for Climate Change, Act on Climate Now, Act Now on Climate rally from the ground floor meeting room of the Dirksen Senate office building. And I think I've got I think I've got a few things to say about that. And I do not want to appear to be negative because it was inspiring. It was deeply inspiring. Anybody who thinks that that members of Congress are simply cynical politicians, I saw a lot of sincerity today. There were members of the House and members of the Senate who came together in one place to demand. And to, well, no, not to demand. There were a lot of good people gathered there whom these members of the Senate and members of the House implored to bring more pressure to deal with climate change issues in this country and on this planet. Senator Barbara Boxer was there. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi was there. Goodness me, one of the most stand-up guys in the entire United States Senate, Sheldon Whitehouse, was sort of the MC of the event. I mentioned Senator Boxer. Al Franken was there. Bernie Sanders was there. Jeff Merkley of Oregon was there. Representative Henry Waxman was there. Representative Paul Tonko of New York was there. Nikki Tsongas of Massachusetts was there. Both senators from the Massachusetts delegation, namely Senator Markey and Senator Warren, were there. A lot of people of goodwill were there. And they know the reality of what they're dealing with, especially on the House side. Almost all of them spoke. Senator Debbie Stabenow from Michigan was there. Senator Amy Klobuchar was there. Tammy Baldwin from Wisconsin was there.
Senator Brian Schatz from Hawaii was along. Senator Carper from Delaware. Senator Cardin from Maryland. They were there, and they were there with a purpose, because it was abundantly clear that they do not deny, as do the freaks and geeks of the right wing, the reality of climate change. And that's a good thing. The bad thing, if there is a bad thing, is that they don't, I don't think they fully understand the scope of it. Because in the course of the remarks that were offered on how dangerous climate change is, we heard about oysters. And we heard about trout. And we heard about wildfires and drought. We heard about what a 2-foot sea level rise can do to South Florida. All of these things are very real. But you know me, I'm biased. I think funerals and hospital visits and things like that have made me kind of biased. And so, and I was tweeting merrily along about all of this, and it shows up on my Facebook page as well. If you, you know, the Facebook pages, and ask those who participate, folks like Haley and Joe and Beth and a pretty good number of members of the Horn Family Commune congregation get together and play on my Facebook page. And over on the Horn Facebook page, Tracy posts at the Horn Facebook page. Sparky does as well. How to put this? I was tweeting merrily along, but you know, wherever I go on this planet, mountaintop removal is always with me. It is, for me, inescapable. Through the kind offices of a lovely individual who insists on still remaining nameless. You know, we went on that lib boat cruise a couple of years ago. We went to the blue and lovely waters of the Caribbean. And we took mountaintop removal with us. 2 years ago, I flew across the Atlantic and saw for the first time in my life Paris, Brussels, Belgium, and Germany. And I took mountaintop removal with me. So don't be surprised if I stood in that climate change rally thinking about people breathing filth in Appalachia, about people breathing poison in Appalachia, about people consuming poisonous water in Appalachia. And I don't think you are surprised. And so I kept listening. I heard the attending crowd asked if they were ready to say no to coal trains in the Great Northwest. Of course, they answered yes, they were ready to oppose it. I heard the crowd asked if they were ready to oppose the tar sands. And of course, yes, they were ready to oppose it. I heard the crowd asked if they were ready to oppose the Keystone XL pipeline. Yes, they were ready to oppose it. Were they ready to oppose fracking? Yes, they were ready to oppose it. And poor old Appalachia. Poor old blasted, bombed, beaten down, burned up, buried Appalachia. Didn't merit a mention. Not surprising, though. I mean, the people who were talking about wildfires were from California. People talking about oysters and trout were from Oregon. People talking about 2-foot sea level rises in Florida were from Florida. The only person in the room who could have spoken about the ravages taking place in Appalachia, well, it was me and Ferg, because there was no one there who could get behind the microphone and talk about that. Because, you see, be they Democrat or be they Republican, all the elected political representatives from Appalachia live in that perpetual ignorant darkness that is climate change denial. Nick Joe Rahal lives in denial of climate change, even though he's been called an environmentalist and likes to call himself one. As long as the coal industry isn't listening, mind you. Shelley Moore Capito, arch in a bad wig? She's a denier. David McKinley, teabagger? He's a denier. I don't think John D. Rockefeller IV is a climate change denier, but he's a short-timer. He's done as of January, and he's not going to do anything to rock the boat. I don't know who has the dirty pictures, but he won't speak up for the sick and dying and miserable and diseased and birth defected of Appalachia's mountaintop removal sacrifice zone. He just won't. Joe Manchin, climate change denier. That's just West Virginia. Then there's Hal Rogers of Kentucky, climate change denier. Rand Paul and that thing on his head, libertarian ophthalmologist. Climate change denier. Addison, a.k.a. Mitch McConnell, turtle man. More on him in a little bit. Thank you, Sparky. Climate change denier. Tim Kaine and Mark Warner of Virginia. Well, the Old Dominion was not in the house. Either put your shirt in the laundry, Ferg, or leave it on. He's over there doing his Mitch McConnell turtle impression, pulling his shirt collar up over his head and then peering fearfully out to see if there are any teabaggers out there. So no one, where climate change is concerned, would speak up for Appalachia. Then again, you know me, right? Yeah, sure. I saw a couple of our friends who have signed on to the AIC Act and made a point, since we had never met before, of specifically thanking them for being on the bill. Because it is a matter of personal gratitude when somebody from Maryland or California or Oregon or New York or Maryland or Massachusetts actually cares enough to sign on to a bill about hillbillies who are being poisoned, who, for all intents and purposes, don't even exist as American citizens. So I thanked him. I also walked up to Representative Henry Waxman, who is not on the bill, and said, "You've done so much." And I was being quite sincere. "You have done so much to address the issue of climate change. Please, won't you sign on to H.R. 526 and do something about mountaintop removal in Appalachia?" I pulled Jeff Merkley aside. And I said, "It's obvious climate change means something to you. Why is it so hard for us to introduce a bill in the Senate that will end one of the nastiest, most climate change facilitating practices in America? Why is it so hard for us to get the AIC Act introduced in the Senate? If you are bold enough to stand up here on this stage, why can you not be bold enough to stand up against Joe freaking Manchin and Addison, a.k.a. Mitch McConnell, and Rand Paul and that thing on his head, libertarian ophthalmologist? Of course, I didn't say it exactly like that. That's just me right now. But I did ask the question and posed it. You know, we need a win. If you are concerned about climate change, we need a win. And the most vulnerable, filthiest, nastiest, most poisonous, most human being-killing practice that results in climate change is mountaintop removal. This is achievable. But it can only be achieved by people who are bold enough to achieve it. I don't know. See, I said something a long time ago, and I hold fast to the truth of it. You cannot talk about climate change and not talk about Appalachia. Oh, who was it? Someone was one of the, they held up a picture of people in China with surgical masks on their faces, trying to keep from breathing all the poison. And I can't remember who it was. It was one of the assembled. I leaned over and I said, "You may not realize it, but that looks like West Virginia after a mountaintop removal blast has just gone off. We breathe the same poisons." No, it wasn't Nancy Pelosi. Yeah, that's who was holding it up, but that's not the one I spoke to, Ferg. Yeah. I know she was the one up on the stage, but there was another member that I spoke directly to. But anyway, I did, because it's true. There are photographs that show what happens in a holler community after one of these massive, mega, God knows what blasts have gone off. And a cloud of poison just rolls down into the holler. And it looks like China. Which I guess has a little bit of irony to it, because the coal that they're going after and blasting the mountains away to get at is getting on a train. And then it's going to get on a truck, and then it's going to get on a train, and then it's going to get on a boat, and it's going to go to China, and it's going to be burnt so that people in China walk around with surgical masks on their faces, trying not to breathe the ultra-fine particles, which are not even being slowed down by the surgical masks. Because I kept myself in check, but I started to feel just a little bit wild. Oh, it was Dianne Feinstein. That's who it was. It was Dianne Feinstein. I said, "You know, that picture looks just like home in West Virginia." "It does?" "Yes, it does. That's what it looks like when a mountaintop removal blast goes off above, say, Nayoma or Whitesville or Sylvester or Bob White." Poor, sad, invisible, forgotten, expendable Appalachia. Maybe that needs to become a hashtag, expendable Appalachia. You can get, and we've talked about this before, you can get really attached to Appalachia. people don't love Appalachia and yearn for it when they're away from it because they're stupid. They yearn for it when they're away from it because it has an almost magnetic pull on their very beings. And when you realize that as an American in Appalachia, you simply don't matter. Well, it'll either make you so damn sad and depressed that you'll just sort of curl up in a ball and wait to die, or you'll decide that such is absolutely unacceptable, and you'll get out and you'll get busy. And I just happen to favor the get out and get busy part of it. Man, Devin, I think we're going to have to carve this one on the horn wall. It takes a special kind of person to live here. Life in Appalachia is pass-fail. If you can survive this place, you can make it anywhere else in the U.S. Yeah, never mind. If I can make it there, I can make it anywhere. It's up to you, New York, New York. I mean, I understand why they say that. I believe it in certain contexts. But hillbillies are America's Fremen, if you are a reader of Dune. You know, if you read Dune, you'll find in there the line, God created Dune to test the faith, to train. Is it to train or to test? God created Dune to train the faithful. And you know, you really can say that about Appalachia, because so much of what Appalachia was transferred to the rest of the country. Whether it's Appalachia reseeding the entire continent after the last glaciation, or whether it's the borderers of Appalachia spilling out over the past the hills and out into the flat ground of Kentucky and Tennessee and Ohio, down into Alabama and Mississippi and up into Michigan, over into Indiana and Illinois and Missouri, down into Texas, and as far away as Oregon and California. You know, I've got distant Kincaid relatives, one of whom was a longtime member of the Oregon State Legislature. We only diverge a couple of generations back. God made Appalachia to test the faithful, to train the faithful. By the way, I don't know why I just left the chat room. I had absolutely nothing to do with it. I'll be back in there in a minute. But, Devin, you are... you are spot on. Life here is pass-fail. What's that? Ed Schultz is ending his three-hour radio show. Is there a three-hour opening out there somewhere? Oh, Mr. Program Director! I'm kidding. Expendable Appalachia. And maybe, and it's unfair if I did, maybe I went into this gathering with a chip on my shoulder. The chip having been placed there last night. Okay, thank you, Devin. God made Appalachia to test the faithful. No, Asa. Mark Sanford of South Carolina is not an Appalachian person. Asa asks, Bob, if I may, this Appalachian magnetic pole that you're talking about, was it pulling on Mark Sanford too when he disappeared from office, if you know what I mean? No, he used us as an alibi. In Mark Sanford's world, hiking the Appalachian Trail means getting on a plane and going down to have sex with your Argentine mistress. He never got anywhere near the Appalachian Trail. Just say it. But, yeah, I got a chip on my shoulder last night. You know, there were a bunch of primaries. There was a primary in Kentucky where Mitch McConnell was facing off against some teabagger. There was a primary in Georgia to find out who would be the Republican nominee to run for the being vacated seat of Saxby Chambliss. You remember Saxby? Saxby was the senator who way back about 10-12 years ago decided to sleaze a multiple amputee named Max Cleland, who had been a senator from Georgia, decided to sleaze him by morphing his face into that of Osama bin Laden. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Saxby is retiring. And lo and behold, via Dwayne, and this is too cute not to share, before we go up to Kentucky to deal with Addison, a.k.a. Mitch, Mr. Turtle McConnell. There's a runoff coming in Georgia for Saxby's soon-to-be-vacated seat. And I guess the muse, or maybe the goddess of irony, or Dwayne, you tell me, got all over Dwayne. And I will not dare sing this because it would just, well, we can't afford to lose listeners. No. Go do laundry.
Yes, master.
Because I can't sing, but Dwayne says, with apologies to Charlie Daniels. The devil went down to Georgia looking for a pole to steal. He was in a bind. He was way behind, and he was looking to make a deal. When he came across Jack on the campaign stump, that'd be Jack Kingston, of Fibbin' Hot, and he sent Perdue up in his face, said, Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a booger eater, too, and if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now, you're a raging doofus, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a mountain of gold against your soul people think I'm dumber than you. The boy said, My name's Kingston, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet you're going to regret, because I'm the dumbest he's ever been. Jackie, dull down on your wits and play your victim card, because hell's broke loose in Georgia and the devil owns the tards. And if you win, you get this shiny gold from the brothers Coke, but if you lose, you get a job on Fox. Thank you, Dwayne. Because I bet a mountain of gold against your soul, people think I'm dumber than you. So I guess that means what? Paul lies from the pits of hell, Brown lost? Yeah, I get it, Marty. Arrakis was what God created. Yes, but we're transposing it to Appalachia for working of the current metaphor. Because, as Devin noted, Life in Appalachia is pass-fail, and if you can survive Appalachia, everything else is gravy. Oh, let's see. And thanks very much to Marty. Marty getting us started on the evening's fundraising. You know, thanks to everybody who labored so strenuously yesterday, we managed to fill in the hole. So all we've got to do this evening is deal with our regular fundraising gap of $150. And so thanks to Marty and to Tony and to Sal, well, we are only $125 away. We are well on our way to meeting tonight's fundraising goal. So that's just 12 and a half more people. And please, 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 don't be trying to create the half a person, either 12 at 10 or 13 at 10. But please, no, they say Solomon was smart for wanting to chop a baby in two. I think the standard was a little different back then. Who knows? This is, after all, prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn, right? But yeah, we need 12 or 13 folks at $10 a piece, and we are done with fundraising for this evening. So wouldn't that be nice? You know where the PayPal button is, at headonradionetwork.com. And of course, you can also use the traditional mail address, which of course is the Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB, stands for Personal Mailbox, 318 Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. And a reminder, checks and money orders should never be made payable to Bob Kincaid, as I don't see them, I don't deal with them, and that's how we pay bills. And Boss Man Wayne is the one who deals with the mailbox. He and his spider-proof gloves. So if you want to do it by traditional mail, just shoot me a note. Let me know. I can tell Boss Man Wayne to keep an eye on the mailbox, and not he won't have to use his spider-proof gloves. And right, you see how it works. Okay, Asa says, oh, Bob, I know Mark Sanford's not from Appalachia. I was merely cross-referencing the magnetic pull, which in this case may have been pulling a certain part of his anatomy. Yeah, I know. Exactly. Now, I mentioned earlier that, yes, I think Devin's working on an Appalachian thesis here. Devin says, you know, this place is a borderer condenser. It unnaturally selects for the toughest, most badass, crazy, mean, and I think I've got some sort of craptastic, miserable piece of malware in the damn computer box. Because I was in the middle of reading Devin's comment and the chat room for the second time this evening, just disa-freaking peered. And I'm doing it on one of the laptops because of technical issues not worth going into. Oh, yuck. I've picked up some sort of internet filth. Well, I reckon all right, hang on a minute. I wonder if this is on the Horn page, because I go to the chat room page and all of a sudden I get these nasty ass pop-ups. It's an ad for LASIX, a slide over, your browser feeds are not, no, I'm not clicking OK. I am not Oopit Stay. I'm back in now. Devin, you want to reshoot that thing to me? I thought it was pretty good. Borderer condenser, was it? And by the way, going back to the email bag, got a note in from Kevin in Colorado Springs. Speaking of climate change, a massive hailstorm here in Colorado Springs. Just went through the largest hailstorm I've ever seen, Kevin says. Granted, I can't see it, but I could hear it, and the terrestrial radio is now reporting hail at least 4 inches deep here in downtown Colorado Springs. Really? 4-inch deep hail? What? As the storm started, there was no thunder, no nothing, until the hail started falling, and it fell for about 5 minutes or so. I've seen many a hailstorm here since I moved to Colorado, but nothing like this. Radio's reporting that this storm went south to north, following the interstate northward, which is strange all by itself. How can one not deny that? How can one not deny that climate change, i.e. global warming, is not real, when the effects of global warming are here in such a way that even a blind man can tell you he's not seen anything like it? 4-inch deep hail. Ick. What Devin was saying, this place is a borderer condenser. It unnaturally selects for the toughest, most badass, crazy MFers imaginable, who range from positively brilliant to run for your life impending doom terrible. Yeah, when we're good, we're great. But, you know, as far as borderer hillbillies are concerned, when we are bad, we are just awful. Hal Rogers, Joe Manchin, Shelley Moore, David McKinley. Ew. Yeah. Oh, shoot. Hold on. Oh, what a merry chase we're leading with the chat room tonight. But it's true. What Devin says, it's absolutely true. Just a second. Thank you very much to hold on. Oh, this is driving me crazy. I hate to not be in the chat room, but I gotta get rid of this malware because it was just throwing a bunch of audio at me. It just pisses me off. Thanks go out. Let's see. So now we're down to $100 to go. Thanks to Beth and Dallas. Thank you, Beth. And Asa. Asa just took us down to 90. So 9 more folks, $10 a piece, and we're done for the evening, and I can shut up about it. But a few minutes ago, I said that, yes, I may have gone into the rally this evening with somewhat of a chip on my shoulder. And that's because, like a dummy, no, not like a dummy, but, oh, like a moth to a coal-fired flame. I watched Addison, a.k.a. Mitch McConnell's victory speech in the Kentucky Stand primary last night. And you know what? I'm going to subject you to it, too. The damn thing is 17 minutes long. I won't subject you to all of that. Let's go from the top. And then we'll just move over to some of the more pertinent parts of his oration. Jesus. Yes, Munch McTurtle, Devin, Munch McTurtle. And the funny thing is, I'm sitting here looking at a picture of this guy, and somewhere on Facebook I saw this photo of a guy from somewhere out in Oklahoma who had pulled a 200-pound snapping turtle on, you know, just on fishing line. And I thought, damn, that looks like McConnell. Although, I imagine that snapping turtle would be hopping mad if he heard me say that. Fur, go do laundry, buddy. Eat something. So here, Addison, a.k.a. Mitch McConnell.
Thank you very much. Something must have happened today. I'm not sure what it is. My friends, tonight we begin the process of putting Kentucky first again.
In what? I'm from West Virginia, so I mean no insult to my neighbors to the south in Kentucky when I say, in what? First in what? Okay, first in basketball. No, there's a long history of that. But once you get past that, first, illiteracy? Lack of access to health care? God, Kentucky's a beautiful place. It's as, every bit as exquisite in some ways as West Virginia is, and every bit as terrifying and heartbreaking as West Virginia is. But do please, Addison, go on.
For 5.5 years, the powers that be in Washington have treated the people of this state with contempt.
In what way? Some tens of thousands of Kentuckians now have health care because of the administration of the past 5.5 years, that you didn't want to have health care, Addison. How is that contempt? Because, see, I don't think contempt, that word. No, Devin, I will not. For F's sake, give the boy a mic. Wouldn't be nothing but trouble.
Got that right.
Having health care is contempt. Okay. You know what? That's the mild part. We haven't gotten to the fun part yet. Marty said, I was going to say that you're going to subject us to too much Mitch McTurtle. I was going to demand my money back. I wasn't. Sorry. Mitch is the Mitch. Yes, as a matter of fact, Marty was first in under the wire during the program. We'd gotten an early start on the issue, thanks to Tony earlier in the day. But after the music rolled, yes, Marty was first in. Oh man, Devin is on a roll this evening. Mitch McConnell is an old-age mutant mining turtle.
What about a teenage mutant ninja turtle?
No, old-age mining...
I always imagine it as teenage McConnell.
No, old-age mutant mining turtle.
Oh, I thought it was...
Old-age mutant mining turtle.
Oh, my gosh, that's a hard thing to say. I just thought, like...
Yeah, but it works, doesn't it?
I thought, like, teenage McConnell ninja turtle.
Oh, there's nothing teenage about him.
No.
And tonight, I have a simple message for all of them. Those days are numbered.
Really? He's going to go somewhere and shoot somebody? The hell does that mean when you say, I mean, isn't that what, your days are numbered? Isn't that straight out of the Bible? Let his days be numbered and his wife be a widow and his children go without a father?
I'm pretty sure that's not
Gunsmoke. So he's numbering the days of Barack Obama. And listen to the idiots clap.
A little while ago, I spoke with Matt Bevin and congratulated him on a hard-fought campaign.
Matt Bevin is the teabagger who ran against him. And this is about as friendly as this address is going to get.
Matt brought a lot of passion and tenacity to this race, and he made me a stronger candidate. A tough race is behind us. It's time to unite. To my opponent's supporters, I'll...
Please don't hate me because I'm not a teabagger enough. Matt Bevin dragged me so far to the right that, well, I think Mussolini's a liberal now. That's what that means. Time to unite means if you hated me, you're going to hate Alison Lundgren-Grimes even more.
Hope you'll join me in the months ahead and know that your fight is my fight. Let's have a big hand for Matt Bevin.
A laurel and hearty handshake.
The reason we need to be together, of course, is because this race has always been much bigger than one candidate. It's about the kind of state we want. It's about the kind of country we want. It's about restoring America. And it's...
Uh-oh. My secret dog whistle decoder ring just lit up like a Christmas tree. Restoring our country. Wasn't that the card they were playing in 2012 when Barack Obama handed them their asses? Yeah. Restore our country means get that Negro away from the White House. Because, you know, they're racists. They really are. I'm not kidding. I mean, it's not like they demand the step-off rule and the eyeball rule and you know, spit at people of color on the sidewalks and try to make them drink from separate water fountains and whatnot. But the motivating spirit that created all of that is alive and well deep in the filthy bowels and buried deep in the amygdala lizard brain of teabaggers and repiglickens everywhere.
Starts tonight. Starts tonight.
DJ Snappy Turtle doing a little bit of scratching there.
I'm so happy to be joined tonight by my wife. Many of you know the story, but it bears repeating. Elaine came to this country.
Yeah. Elaine.
Diagnosis in those days. But my mom responded with uncommon.
Oh, here's the part where he pretends that he actually once had a human mother.
Determination. Through her patience and tenacity, she gave me what every child wants. A normal childhood.
Well, Addison, I mean, let's not feel bad. I mean, normal's just a setting on a dryer, buddy. I mean, I can't imagine any childhood. No. You mean old Sparky really didn't go? No, okay, never mind. Let's use it. You mean old Fido really didn't go to live on a farm?
And she gave me an example I would never forget. I've tried
Yertle, the turtle,
to bring that same determination and tenacity to every cause I've taken up on behalf of the people of this state. Whether it was fighting for folks who'd been exposed to radiation at the uranium enrichment plant in Paducah,
or pretending that people living under mountaintop removal sites are not being poisoned by the coal companies that fill your pockets every day. Oh, wait, no.
Or doing battle with left-wing extremists who want to destroy our coal industry.
Huh? What, Edith, huh?
Left-wing extremists who want to destroy our coal industry. So, let's see. Thank you for the reminder, Jeremy. For God's sake, get the effing duct tape and tennis ball. I know I've got... Yes. Left-wing extremists who want to destroy our coal industry. where's my Mao's little red book when I need one? off to the re-education camps for you, Turtle Man. By the way, has everybody now seen the magnificent send-up of a Mitch McConnell ad from last week's Last Week Now show with John Oliver on HBO? Has everybody gotten... Go to YouTube, if you haven't, go to YouTube, in the search bar box, type in John Oliver, old white dick. You will not be well. And by well, I mean you may be gasping for air for a while because you just can't stop laughing. Can't seem to... Okay, so you're not going to find it at YouTube. Maybe it's over at Comedy Central. I don't know. It's worth it. Every time I see Mitch McConnell now, I think of that, which I think was kind of the point. Yeah, Devin, never mind the duct tape. It's time to go for the gorilla tape, because, see, I know what's coming.
I learned this from my mom. The only way to fail in this country, the only way to fail, is to die or stop trying.
We're in favor of the latter on your part, Mitch, but, you know, I'm just saying.
And when it comes to fighting for the causes and principles I believe in, I...
Which are... mountaintop removal yesterday, mountaintop removal today, mountaintop removal forever. Principles he believes in. He also has a principle that he believes in which if the coal industry writes a check, the coal industry check should always clear. I mean, it's important to have principles in this life. Jim pointing out, Mitch on TV, my lord, he should be on the reality show Mysteries and Monsters after last night and other sightings. The right-wing ninja Hurtle. Maybe he's the... Here's our obligatory Star Trek reference of the evening. Maybe he's the Horta. No, the Horta, it turned out, was a likable sort of dangerous rock. No.
I never let up, ever.
And he's right. He never lets up ever. He'd never let up when he gathered his team together to figure out how they could threaten and sleaze Ashley Judd to make sure that she understood that they would call her a dangerous, crazy woman because she had sought mental health help once upon a time. They never let up.
I fight for good Kentucky jobs every single day.
Name one. Because here's a hint. The only people who can have jobs on this planet are people who are humans, and by definition of being human, it means that they are beings that are comprised mostly of water, who are dependent upon food sources for energy, and who must mix the food sources with water and air in order to continue being corporate in this reality. In other words, you know, folks. There is no way that you can call working in an industry which produces a substance which is then used to destroy the air and water that the water-based creatures depend upon in order to survive a good Kentucky job. I don't care how screwed up Kentucky or West Virginia or Virginia or Tennessee can get or any other coal-producing state. There is no such thing as a good coal job. Because in order for a coal job to be a job, it by definition has to be a bad thing because it is producing a bad thing, which is coal, which makes it hard for human beings to go on being human beings on this planet. As a bit of a back reference to the rally earlier today, you know, maybe there's a future for me in consulting. Because I kept hearing these really well-meaning people step to the microphone today and talk about how we're destroying the planet. Please. Oh, dang it. Why can't you be... Well, I mean, we know there are some secret horn listeners out there. But it wasn't the people who were talking about destroying the planet. And Ferg and I were talking about this as we were walking back. You could... And I'm not saying by could, should. Well, that's true, Devin. Chinless Mitch is actually a bourbon-based organism. No, I'd say he's a cheap rot gut-based organism. He's a moonshine filtered through the radiator of a 1958 Edsel kind of organism. Ferg and I were talking on the way back, and I said, you know, this destroy the planet business is driving me nuts. It just makes me crazy every time I hear it. It's turned into an earworm for me. Captain, it is terrible. They keep talking about destroying the planet. Because, like I said, I'm not suggesting you should by saying you could, but you could. Simultaneously set off every thermonuclear device on this planet, and it would not destroy the planet. Now, I realize this is a little bit of a thought experiment, but it is hard to comprehend, just like it's difficult to comprehend really big, 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 big numbers. Well, it's really hard to comprehend human extinction, because self-preservation is an essential part of being human. So instead we say, destroy the planet. There is no human agency that can destroy the planet. And when we say destroy the planet, the right wing gets to go, ha ha ha, dummies, you can't destroy the planet. Because we've heard them do it, right? Right. What we're talking about, and what I wish these very well-intentioned, good-spirited, hard-working people would get schooled on, is that we're not talking about destroying the planet, we're talking about destroying the planet's ability to support human life. And I admit to being anthropocentric. I have a terrible, 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 god-awful crush on humanity. I'm just into being human. And therefore, I root human. I root for the humans. I want to see the humans continue. I've mentioned this before. I want to see us get to that enlightened stage if it's possible ever for us to do so. You know, to say, come on, extinction is the ultimate expression of nihilism. And so it makes me a little nuts when we make the mistake of saying destroy the planet. Mm-mm. We're talking about making the waters too toxic to support human life. We're talking about making the air too full of poison for humans to breathe it. We're talking about making the ground too wet for it to be ground anymore so that humans can live on it. I mean, I have no faith and I have no belief, but I do have knowledge that evolutionary processes really are real. Now, who knows? Maybe if in that hypothetical we set off all those thermonuclear weapons, maybe it wipes out all life on Earth. Or maybe it sets up the evolutionary process for that 6-foot race of sentient cockroaches that seems to be so much in my mind. Either way, you can't destroy the planet. Even if it's a burned out cinder, it's still going to be here, and it's still going to be making little trips around the sun for a few more, couple more billion years. But I guess that's neither here nor there. Let's go back to Mitch Addison.
I fight for policies that will make us more competitive, that make our state better, safer, a more beautiful place to live and work and raise a family.
And see, we haven't even gotten to the part that makes me start screaming and climbing the walls.
And every day I fight forever. I fight for good Kentucky jobs every single day. I fight for policies that will make us more competitive, that make our state better, safer, a more beautiful place to live and work.
Yeah, that's what I thought I heard. There, we have to stop. Makes Kentucky a more beautiful place to live and work. Look up, just for the fun of it, if you want to, look up Jenny Wiley State Park. Jenny Wiley State Park is a Kentucky state park, and it's in the coal-producing region of eastern Kentucky. What you will see if you look at it on Google Earth is that it is surrounded by moonscapes. And the last time I stayed there, I had a ground floor room, and I had to be moved out of it because the damn thing was so moldy because of the mountaintop removal-induced flooding that had taken place not too long back. A more beautiful place to live and work. There is nothing beautiful about a mountaintop removal site, unless you're some guy on Wall Street, or maybe you're a banker in Frankfurt or Paris or Edinburgh or London or New York or Charlotte, who's counting up the profits from financing this filth. Jenny Wiley State Park. Look it up on Google Earth. Jenny Wiley State Park, Kentucky. And then just zoom out and wander around Kentucky a little bit, and every time you see one of those places on Google Earth that looks like the Earth itself has cancer, zoom in. That's a mountaintop removal site. That's one of those places that Addison, a.k.a. Mitch McConnell, has worked to make a prettier place to live and work in Kentucky. No, really. Ah, that's true, Asa, that's very true. McTurtle did get that $3 billion for Kentucky during the last government blackmail, shutdown. We'll give him that. Oh, brother. Thank you, Jeremy. Breathe, Bob. Nice, slow breaths. The lying is so strong with the right-wing Ninja Turtle. Bacteria, says Devin, can survive millions of years in the vacuum of space. Are you suggesting we should declare Mitch McConnell an astronaut, a bacterial astronaut, and try to find out? Yeah. I tell you what. Technically, we're a little bit sideways this evening. So I'm gonna I'm gonna take a break. And when I come back, we're gonna get into the real meat of why I didn't like him much in the first place, we're going to go into the meat of why I really, really loathe and detest and despise Addison, a.k.a. Mitch McConnell. And I think you'll probably despise him, too. Thanks very much. Going out to Tracy. She's looking to finish off the fundraising for this evening. She's got a $25 challenge on the table. Going out to anybody who wants to match her, and that'll take us down to only $40 to go for the program this evening, which is amazing. Thank you, Tracy. Thank you very kindly, especially knowing the kind of expenses Tracy's dealing with coming up in dealing with her and Jan's nuptials. Thank you. So a little bit of a break, and then we'll come back and listen to a little bit more of that 666666666 man, Addison Mitch McConnell. This is Conversation Radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Yeah. I'm gonna let you tell me what it's worth. With your one eye on these mountains and one foot out the door, I have been here long enough to know one thing for sure. You best be warned that we're not gonna take it anymore.
Feel the ground rumbling neath my feet as I am leaving my old home. And I'm glad to say that I won't miss the railroad yards or coal mines that blacken up this place I once belonged. I know the country needs the coal that comes out of the mountains, but they could at least repair what they've torn down. Instead they strip for coal and leave the land all bare and ragged, till there's not a sign of life that can be found. I'm looking for a place where it's clean and hardly dirty, a place where I can breathe some clean fresh air. I love the mountains of my home, but they've been mistreated badly, and I wish that more people would care. Trains are rolling by and sleep is almost hopeless when your house is right beside a railroad track. I'm gonna find a little farm somewhere out in the country, and when I do, I won't be coming back. I'm looking for a place where it's clean and hardly dirty, a place where I can breathe some clean fresh air. And I love the mountains of my home, but they've been mistreated badly, and I wish that more people would care.
You know, there's a reason that I let the most beautiful place in the world roll into that for that track for greener pastures. And that's because, well, yeah, you do. And I'm not talking about the Horn family commune here. I'm talking about the wider world. I wish more people would care. But hell, I know those folks care. But they don't, I guess they didn't see what's happening in Appalachia as something that's happening in America. If the first thing you think about is China and troubles breathing there, well, what can you say? Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. It's quarter past seven here in Washington, D.C., up on Capitol Hill on the at the headquarters of the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Campaign. Thank you very much, Darlene. Darlene just said, hi, Bob. I will match Tracy's $25 and cover the remaining 40. Wow. Thank you, Darlene. Thank you very much. We are done with fundraising for this evening. Thank you so very much. Now, like I said, we're going to move back into the Mitch part of the Mitch McConnell remarks that really got my dander up. What the hell does that mean? We're warned against allergies to pet dander. Does that mean you get so angry all the various and the loose flaky stuff just flies off your body? Ew. I mean, just ew. Ugh. Well, whatever it is, it's up. You'll hear. Don't worry.
And raise a family. And every day I fight against policies that make life harder for the people of Kentucky.
Wait. Every day I fight against policies that make it harder for the people of Kentucky. This man has fought against Kentuckians being able to have access to health care. Wouldn't that be, in and of itself, wouldn't fighting against people having health care be a policy that makes life harder for people in Kentucky? Did this guy just put a tab of the brown acid under his tongue right before he got behind the microphone?
Then, there's my opponent.
Oh, here we go. By my opponent, he is speaking of Alison Lundgren Grimes. Now, let's get a couple of things out of the way. Alison Lundgren Grimes has been making all kinds of I love coal noises out there on the campaign trail, because she's not going to get out cold. Oh, okay. Well, thank you, Devin. Dander stands at attention like dragon scales. Jesus. Devin's on a roll this evening. Okay, yes, true. Mitch McConnell is just flaky. Jeremy, the music I played is from a compilation CD called Moving Mountains, and it was produced through the good offices of Aurora Lights Music, and it came out 10 years ago, maybe 12. But it is. It's one of the most magnificent musical compilations that I've ever heard. Brilliant musicians. Okay, we got to do this. So, but understand that when he talks about my opponent, Addison, a.k.a. Mitch McConnell, is talking about Alison Lundgren Grimes, who, with a name like Allison, one may safely presume, and I'm not trying to be sexist or genderist or anything here, but, oh, sure, Bobby Allison, you know, NASCAR driver, but that's a last name, not a first name. This Alison Lundgren Grimes is a female person. Although being a liberal, if some guy person wants to be Allison, fine by me. But in this case, Allison is a female. And that's what he means when he says my opponent. I only say all this because we are going to get into pronoun trouble in an awfully big hurry. And I don't want you to feel left or left out or left behind. Although, anyway, you slice it, you're going to wind up left scratching your head. And with any luck at all, there's not going to be any dander involved.
My opponent is in this race because Barack Obama and Harry Reid want her to be in this race.
Okay, so we've got a her there. My opponent is in this race because Barack Obama and Harry Reid want her to be in this race. In other words, she is a female, and she is not capable of her own agency because she's a female. I'm guessing Addison Mitch didn't get that whole we don't win by crapping on women memo from the GOP. Remember when they had their postmortem of the 2012 election? Yeah, it had something to do with not pissing off every female in the United States. Yeah. Well, hey, that's true, Devin. With all that selenium in the water, you shouldn't have any dander. You know that's what makes Head and Shoulders and Tegrin and all that stuff. Where it's selenium. Cuts down on your dander. And we got, God knows, plenty of selenium in the water. Thanks to mountaintop removal. Nice observation, Devin. Okay, so Allison Lundergan Grimes is not capable of deciding for herself that she wants to run for Senate from the state of Kentucky as a Democrat. She had to be forced to do so by the evil ways of Harry Reid and Barack Obama, you know, with his super secret, double secret probation Kenyan Muslim powers.
There's a reason, my friends, a reason every Hollywood liberal is sending her a check.
Now, okay, because this is video, I feel called upon to comment on some of the stuff that I'm seeing. And by the way, I posted at ACAC.org a link to this video, the same link that Sparky had provided me, and then I cross-posted it to HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. So feel free to look for yourself. But during this whole thing, you know, he starts off talking about his lovely, magnificent wife who came to America in the cargo hold of a freighter. No, he says that. I'm not saying that. He said that. Elaine Chao, who spent at least 4 years in the Bush administration doing everything in her power to shit all over working people. Yeah, that Elaine Chao, former Secretary of Anti-Labor. And she stands back there, and she's got that little smile on her face. And then he starts going, and I'm watching here, and it looks like it looks like maybe the Smilex or Smilene is wearing off. Because I think even Elaine Chao gets a little bit disturbed by the inherent misogyny.
It's not because
of this
they
garbage.
My opponent is in this race because Barack Obama and Harry Reid.
Honest to Jesus, she's gritting her teeth. And then the woman who's standing behind her has this grim look on her face. Is it because there's this mantra running through their heads? I hate myself. I hate myself. I'm a self-hating female. I hate myself. Anyway,
Reid want her to be in this race. There's a reason, my friends, a reason every Hollywood liberal is sending her a check. It's not because they care about Kentucky. I assure you of that. It's because they know it.
Yeah, because it's impossible for some. Well, maybe I'm making his case for him earlier. No, I have to believe that people in California. Well, I know for a fact, because so many of them are co-sponsors of the ACAC, that people in California actually do care about what happens in Appalachia. Because a lot of people really do have consciences. Now, granted, Addison Mitch McConnell is not one of the people who has a conscience. He's got something where his conscience ought to be that's probably just sort of carboniferous. But again, that's dog whistling. That's for the folks up the holler. What'd you say there, Mitch? Goddamn Hollywood liberals is sending that hussy Hollywood liberal money. Why am I going to vote for ye? That's the way it's, at least that's the way it's supposed to work. Please, says Devin, help save the last gray hillbilly.
As well as we do, that there isn't a dime's worth of difference, not a dime's worth of difference, between a candidate who puts Harry Reid in charge and Harry Reid himself.
Addison, you goddamn dumbass, Harry Reid is in charge. He's been in charge. Well, I mean, he's been majority leader. Granted, Mitch, you've been using a minority of the United States Senate to stop any real legislating from going on in the Senate for a very long time. But no, technically, Harry Reid is already in charge. And Allison Lundgren Grimes is not going to put him in charge. He, or are you claiming that you're in charge? Are you actually acknowledging the reality that you've been running the Senate like your own sick personal psychotic fiefdom? Thank you. I was kind of fond of sick personal psychotic fiefdom myself. Yeah, clap, Elaine, while you grit your teeth in the dust.
A vote for my opponent is a vote for a guy who says coal makes you sick.
And there it is. A vote for, I told you, a vote for my opponent is a vote for a guy who claims coal makes you sick. Now, unless we're going to engage in some real linguistic gymnastics, Addison, a.k.a. Mitch McConnell, just called Allison Lundgren Grimes a guy. Now, a few minutes ago, she was a helpless female who was not self-actualized and empowered and with enough personal agency to make a decision for herself to run for Senate, and now she's been promoted to guy. You know, there's just moments when the little latency meter goes whoop, 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 and you can't help thinking, you know, I hate this gender bigotry. So many people, there are so many people in the United States that have suffered in silence and secrecy under the weight of gender dysphoria. And this guy's out there playing gender bending games for nothing more than crass, filthy politics. What a sick son of a bitch he is. But it's the other part of that sentence that really crawls all over you. A vote for my opponent is a vote for a guy who says coal makes you sick. Jesus Christ. I thought I'd be over it by now. I heard this for the first time last night and started losing my mind. I went into a Twitter frenzy. Because I started thinking about coal making people sick. And I thought about a 5'7" tall man with snow white hair that I really never got to know to any degree of realness. Really not, never got to establish a relationship with. He was my grandfather. And in 1968, when I was five, and he was 74, he died. Oh, he died. He died fighting for every last breath he could breathe. because so many of the breaths that he had breathed underground in a coal mine, and a breath of air that he had taken had brought with it little fine particles of coal dust that turned his lungs blacker and blacker and blacker and blacker. The disease itself is called black lung. To the end of her days, my grandmother got a modest little black lung pension check so that she would not die in poverty. A vote for my opponent is a vote for a guy who says coal makes you sick. Mitch McConnell, you dirty, misbegotten, misanthropic suck. Of course coal makes you sick. But then again, maybe we can reevaluate. Coal doesn't make you sick. Coal kills, goddammit. Coal kills. It kills. Because, see, as a person from Appalachia, I have my black lung story of my grandfather. That I would have given anything on earth to know a little longer, to get to know, to hear him tell stories of, well, the fight for human dignity in which he participated, the fight, the struggle for actual freedom in which he participated as a coal miner. Stories of the days when he didn't dare be seen talking to a co-worker lest they be accused of union organizing and their families summarily thrown into the streets with what meager belongings that they had. That's my black lung story. And I was only five, so there's not much story to it now, is there? But the story of coal in Appalachia is the story of widows and orphans. And there are lots more black lung stories with far greater detail to them than I ever knew. Most of what I know I got from my father when I was old enough to understand. A vote for my opponent is a vote for a guy who says coal makes you sick. Well, coal does make you sick, so doesn't that mean by definition that a vote for Allison Lundgren and Grimes is a vote for a person who acknowledges reality? But don't worry, again, don't worry, because it's not like Allison Lundgren and Grimes is out there screaming to shut down the coal industry. She's bowing and scraping to coal for all she's worth. Just like there's a Senate competition, a Senate race in West Virginia between Shelley Moore Arch in a bad wig Capito and Natalie Tennant. And they are both wallering around on their bellies trying to see which, trying to see who can out embarrass themselves for the coal industry more. I love the coal industry. Well, I really love it. Well, I really love it. Well, I really love coal. Look here, I'm going to eat some on my Wheaties. But that's dog whistling, because, see, a lot of people in eastern Kentucky are so far down the rabbit hole that even though coal has killed generation after generation after generation of their forebears, they are not allowed to think for themselves anymore that coal can make you sick. You can't even acknowledge it. because to do so is a heresy. Because, as I've said before, coal has passed the point of being an industry or a business. In Appalachia now, coal is an orthodoxy. It is a set of beliefs which may not be challenged. Devin says, I know that black lung cough. It's distinct and haunts my memory forever. My great-grandfather had that cough while he lasted. No matter how much you hack, you will never hack it out. It only stops when your breathing stops. God, yes. Do you realize, do you know, that even in 2014, long after medical science has established as fact that black lung disease is entirely preventable, do you know that there are still 3 coal miners who die in this country every day from black lung? Because if you introduce legislation to try to reduce the incidence of black lung in this country, the coal industry, with human walking feces like Mitch McConnell, will run out and say they're trying to regulate, the job killing regulations is going to be the end of coal. Yeah. It's entirely preventable. But we can't prevent it because the coal industry will not let it be prevented. What we have here in this audio from Addison, a.k.a. Mitch McConnell, what we have here really is a little love note to the coal industry.
A vote for my opponent is a vote for a guy who thinks nothing of this state, if he thinks about it at all.
So there we go again with Addison, a.k.a. Mitch McConnell, referring to Allison Lundergan Grimes as a guy. Man, if I was her, I'd be right pissed off. Oh, by the way, did you know that Mitch McConnell's pals in the mountaintop removal industry once set up a naked picture of Ashley Judd on a mountaintop removal site and mocked it and made fun of it? Oh, yeah.
Why would you make fun of that?
Classy guys. Classy guys.
What?
Yeah. No, Ferg, did you not know that?
Why would you make fun of something? No,
don't go there.
No. Why?
No, they were mocking her because she said she didn't like nude mountains, but she had been nude in a movie.
There is a difference.
Yeah, I know.
Nude
I know.
In a movie is okay. Nude mountains is not.
But they did because, you know, the coal industry is such a classy bunch. And by the way, for those who think that black lung is on the decline, here's one for you. Even though there are far fewer underground coal miners than there used to be, black lung is on the increase, and it's on the increase among mountaintop removal workers. No kidding. And all of that shitty filth that they breathe filters down into mountaintop removal communities below the sites day in and day out. Thank you, Tracy. Tracy with an email. She says, Californians care. We love this country very much, every state, including Kentucky. Yeah. And that's the thing. That's what the dog whistling is about, Tracy. Those California Hollywood liberals are sending contributions to my opponent. Let's get back to Addison.
A vote for my opponent is a vote for Obamacare. And
wait, what?
The president who sold it to us on a mountain of lies.
On a mountain. Well, if only we could blow up that mountain with that Kenyan muslin on it, we'd be a little bit, we might be getting somewhere, huh? I guess Addison didn't get the memo. America is turning around and liking Obamacare more and more and more. And Kentucky has the Medicaid expansion. So even some of the people who live beneath mountaintop removal and have to deal with all the horrors that it entails can go to the doctor when they're sick now. Despite Mitch McConnell's best efforts to make sure that they can't or couldn't. America likes Obamacare. All the dog whistling in the world couldn't stop it.
And that's why this race isn't about one party against another.
No, because essentially Kentucky's very much like West Virginia. There are Colocrats and Colicans. And make no mistake, Allison Lurgan Crimes is a Colocrat. She's going to wait for the coal industry to scratch her belly. She cannot be elected senator without doing it. It is, to say so is not a critique of her political intuition. Do you think for a moment that somebody can run for political office in West Virginia or Kentucky and be elected to national office and not bow and scrape before the coal industry? They have to. Now, every now and then you get the occasional brave soul who's willing to run a campaign that doesn't do that. My friend Ed Rabel is an independent candidate in the 2nd District of West Virginia congressional race, the seat being vacated by Shelley Moore Arch and a bad wig Capito. I want desperately for him to win. But the political reality is that he has an extreme uphill climb in front of him because he has not rolled over to wait for the coal industry to come and belly rub him. For real.
It's about a government that thinks it can lie to its own citizens and get away with it.
Really? It's a contest about a government can lie to its own citizens and get away with it? How about that, Mitch? Because you've been lying to people about Obamacare. You've been lying to people about Obama and coal. You've been lying about this war on coal, and you expect to get away with it. Best be careful, Mitch, because you're not that smart a man, and there's some real psychology catching up with your sorry ass. Well, that was a pregnant pause for applause. Clap, Elaine. Man, she doesn't even have her mouth open anymore. She's gritting her teeth so hard. She's just sitting there thinking, I'm so glad I don't have to sleep with this man.
It is about holding the people who've done this accountable.
Okay, we may have to work on this for a little bit. Could we hold you accountable, Mitch, for the fact that a woman who's waiting on a baby to be born and doesn't smoke and lives near a mountaintop removal site is 141% more likely to give birth with a baby with respiratory birth defects than a woman who smokes and doesn't live near one of your filthy-ass mountaintop removal sites? Can we hold you accountable for that, or do we have to wait for the great judgment, that great getting-up morning and the judgment day in the sky, Mitch?
And seeing as how you say that coal never makes anybody sick, can we hold you accountable for the wives who will become widows this year? The wives who became widows last year, the wives who have become widows every year since you've been in the Senate from black lung disease, can we hold you accountable for that, Mitch? God damn.
This race is about vindicating people like Angela Strobel, a mother of five girls from Owensboro. Angela was at her wit's end when she wrote me earlier this year.
Wonder what she wrote about. Is this going to be one of those baloneyed up Obamacare stories?
After being told up and down that she didn't have to worry about a result coming out of Obamacare that she didn't favor.
The hell does that mean?
She was told she found out she was going to lose her doctor. And her plan. Her premiums had more than tripled. She was out of patience. Obamacare agents told her she was out of luck.
Obamacare agents? Little trench coats and Jethro Bodine iron hats and boots and Obamacare agents. They probably have to stop and pray toward Mecca every now and then. I don't know. I smell fish.
And when she spoke up about it, Harry Reid told her she was a liar.
Oh, so she's already been busted and is a liar. Okay, just checking.
Another woman wrote me saying her deductible just went up sevenfold. She said she's a Democrat and she's furious. I feel deceived, she wrote.
What's her name? Come on, Mitch. What's her name?
Another woman wrote...
Oh, I'm sorry. It's just another woman. Another one of those nameless women that exist only in the mind of Mitch McConnell.
Saying...
You know, out there being without agency, it might be a guy.
That in order to pay her new premium under Obamacare, she'd have to either reduce payments or stop contributing to her 401k. All these women have something in common.
They're imaginary?
They got a raw deal, and they've gotten nothing but a blank stare from the people who did these things to them and their families. That's how this crowd operates. They think they can get away with it if they just push ahead. They can just make it through the next news cycle or through the next election. Well, I've got news.
Oh, I've got news, by the way. Let's do remember that Addison McConnell has the best government-sponsored health care on the planet. But it ain't good enough for the rest of us. Mm-mm. Where's your chin, Mitch?
For them. Well, I've got news for them. The American people have had enough. And they're running out of time.
Somebody press the clap button on Elaine's remote control.
Look, Barack Obama's allies have one goal this year. One goal, just one.
Yeah, and Mitch McConnell has one goal, too. And that goal is to please, please let me run against Barack Obama. I wish he could. I wish he could run a bit against Barack Obama, because Barack Obama, say whatever we say, and we say a lot about him. He frustrates us to no end. But the man can run a campaign, and he would, oh, my God. God, he would beat Mitch McConnell like a borrowed mule. I mean, he'd beat him like he owed him money. And Mitch McConnell knows it.
To cling to their power. They've made an art form out of hand-picking candidates who pose no threat to that power whatsoever. This is how Obamacare became law.
And this is how acid acts on the human brain. Devin, turtle's got the clap?
He gets, he gets a clap from Elaine.
Single candidate that Barack Obama and Harry Reid helped select to send to the Senate fell right in line to pass a bill the American people didn't want.
Bullshit. The American people are dying for health care. The fact of the matter is, the American people did not get the health care reform that they wanted in the first place. That's what I was sitting for 2.5 hours in a briefing about this morning. People overwhelmingly in this country want a non-profitized, universal, single-payer health care system. And it's only people like the turtle on two legs here that think that they should be sublimated and that their human bodies and their health should be vehicles for the profit industry. Jumping Jesus.
And if you look at my Democratic opponent this year, it's clear she'd be.
Oh, she's finally female again. Well, bless my stars.
No different. She's a partisan.
Allison Lundgren Grimes is a partisan. What the fuck are you, Mitch? I mean, Jesus Christ, if Harry Reid introduced a bill in the Senate saying that kittens should be rescued from burning trees, you'd filibuster it, you prick.
Who's been practicing party politics since she learned to talk.
I mean, there's them talking women, and somebody finally found the smile with all your teeth button on Elaine's remote.
And let's be honest. Anybody who learned politics at the school of Jerry Lundigan will not be a model of bipartisanship. Model of bipartisanship.
And you've ever been a model of bipartisanship when? Lord God, see, this being prayer meeting Wednesday, and don't think I forgot that it is. This is another moment where I am pretty much convinced that there is no great big juvenile bearded delinquent in the sky who's sitting around playing pin the tail on the asshole. Because Mitch McConnell would have been at that point in time talking about bipartisanship, a little greasy spot behind a microphone. Oh, well. Sure would be nice, though, wouldn't it?
Barack Obama's candidates preach independence, but they practice loyalty above all else. Above all else.
You mean the kind of loyalty that you practice to the coal industry that isn't even a nation? You sorry bastard, you swore an oath to the Constitution of the United States and you violated every day of your miserable, godforsaken life.
And tonight I'm confident of this. Kentuckians are not going to be deceived. Allison Lundgren Grimes is Barack Obama's candidate.
Now notice the dog whistling here. Allison Lundgren Grimes is a woman. She's not just a woman, she's a white woman. And in saying that she is Barack Obama's candidate, what Mitch McConnell is trying to do is to create, raise up, dredge up from the filthy swamps of white race terror of centuries gone by, the notion of a black man with a white woman. Oh, he's hitting all the notes.
They know it.
Oh, and by the way, somebody found Elaine's nod button on her remote.
And they'll issue the same verdict on this candidate that they've issued twice before on him. Kentucky cannot afford to empower the people who've been waging a war on jobs in this state for 5.5 years.
Oddly enough, what's happened to jobs in Kentucky in the last 5.5 years? And why?
So tonight, I ask every voter in this state to help us win this race and put Kentucky first. The people who handpick my opponent are not on your side. They don't care a whit about Kentucky. Let me tell you what I'm talking about.
Oh,
earlier this year, the Obama administration tried to tell us we couldn't raise the water level down at Lake Cumberland because they thought it might disrupt the natural habitat of a minnow called the dusky-tailed darter. Thank you very much. Something must have happened.
Yeah, the dusky-tailed darter. Dang, I mean, hell, can't we just kill them all? I mean, we've killed all kinds of stuff on mountaintop removal sites. I mean, dang.
Barack Obama's candidates preach independence, but they...
No, we've been to that part.
Practice loyalty. Kentucky first. Cumberland, because they thought it might disrupt the natural habitat of a minnow called the dusky-tailed darter.
See, that's so funny, because that means that Kenyan Muslim usurper, anti-colonialist with a deep-seated hatred of white people, well, that means he thinks more of fish than he does of white people. See how the dog whistling works? Stupid fish.
They wanted to keep the water low, throw people out of their jobs, and ruin one of the most popular tourist spots in the Commonwealth, all to help a 2-inch fish.
And he's holding his fingers up to display the 2-inch fish. Meanwhile, Elaine's standing there going, I wish.
A 2-inch fish. Now, believe me.
Notice how nobody's laughing?
This is the only time I know of that anybody's ever tried to save a fish from too much water.
Oh, ho, ho, ain't that funny? Because you can just pour it. Environment don't mean nothing. Habitat don't mean nothing. I mean, why don't we just take all them dusky darters, see how that works, dusky darters, and put them in a slurry pond maybe over in Martin County. I bet they'd be they'd die because it's poison.
Oh, son of a bitch, somebody found the grin button on Elaine's remote.
I fought back. And we won.
Oh, Jesus. I fought back and we won. Hot damn. We given that dusky darter the screwing it so long so richly deserved. Hey, Tracy. Oh, Tracy.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you, Tracy.
Oh, the stupid phone. Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can.
Hi, man.
Yeah, you can save some bandwidth by turning off the camera.
Yeah, I didn't know I had the camera on. Hold on.
Yeah, that's so cool. I'd wave back, but you know.
No, I'm driving, so yeah. No. So Miss McConnell. Oh my God.
Have you had this evening like me more Mitch McConnell than you could ever imagine? Wanting meeting in your whole life.
I mean, between him saying, you know, us California, those liberal Hollywood types.
You know, you flattened down that eye real good, Tracy.
Man,
liberal Hollywood types.
I did that pretty darn good, didn't I?
Yeah. Well, you are one of them. You are one of them Hollywood liberals, aren't you?
I know. But see, the thing is, I don't have that kind of money. I'm not, people are under the misconception that Californians, we're all flush with money because we're all from Hollywood. And no, not so much. Not so much. But I'm troubled. I've never, this is actually like really the first time that I've actually listened to Ms. Mitch McConnell. So thank you very much.
You could go the rest of your life. Yeah, you could go the rest of your life and never have to hear it again, right?
Never, ever, ever, ever hear it again. But I just, the thing that he was saying, how coal never makes anybody sick.
See,
okay.
That went through me like a dose of salt last night.
Knowledge. I can't eat. And when he says that, this current administration is lying to the American public, he ain't going to be glad that he is not Pinocchio. Because if he were, his nose would have been growing the whole time he was talking.
If he was Pinocchio, the first time he said war on coal, he would have been a nasal porn star.
Exactly. He would have been able to put some of those trees back on the mountains.
There you go. But
and non-top removal and Appalachia, it's limited to what I've learned from listening to you and from what I've seen in the movies and whatnot and so forth. But what I've seen in the last 30 or so years, where is that movie, Matewan. Amazing movie. Coal Miner's Daughter.
Sure.
All these movies that, as Californians, I mean, these people have been talking about stuff that's been going on in the coal mines for decades.
Well, but see, Tracy, there's something we got to understand real quick there. When you watch, for instance, Sissy Spacek star turn in Coal Miner's Daughter, you gotta get in touch with the fact that people living hard like that, it kind of gets romanticized in a film.
Yeah.
People didn't enjoy living like that.
No.
It was forced upon them.
Well, it's like that fool Clive Bund, whatever his name is.
Oh, Clavin.
Clavin.
Yeah, right.
Clavin. Dude said that us Negroes were happier when we were slaves.
Out there chopping that cotton, singing them songs, yeah.
Oh, no, wait, that wasn't him. Well, we were better off as slaves. It was the idiot from Duck Dynasty that said, I never saw a black person suffer.
Oh, yeah, that was Duck Doofus.
And why are they all up in arms? We were all farmers, too. And they was happy. They were just singing songs and stuff. Well, I don't understand what the problem is.
I get no kick from champagne. No, sorry.
Exactly. So, I don't, because I've been trying, I just kept back from Vegas, as you know. Jan and I met, which was awesome. But I spent that weekend, unfortunately, with my Jan's brother. And let me tell you, if there isn't a finer case of Jewish people forgetting how Jews used to be treated and how you are now benefiting from white privilege, I don't know
don't be going down this road right before the wedding, Tracy. Don't.
Oh, no. Honey, I said that across the dinner table. Are you kidding
me? How to win friends and influence future family with Miss Tracy.
Wow. I'm like, because we got into it about something, and I'm like, you need to, shut up. Because he was trying to, do the whole thing about the Clippers and how, well, what's his name isn't going to do this. And I said, look, he is benefiting from white privilege more ever than I will ever benefit, because there's no way the only way I will ever benefit from white privilege is if I marry a white man. Anglo-Saxon Protestant. That's the only way I'm going to benefit from white privilege, okay? And that's not gonna, obviously not going to happen. I said, but you, on the other hand, have greatly benefited. I said, yes, the Jews have gone through it. Yes, they went through the Holocaust. And yes, and I am so not discounting that. And I don't compare, you know, slavery to the Holocaust. Because, and I'm sorry, slavery was worse 300 years. Okay? And yet, we are still,
but, you know,
black people are still in
Tracy, we can't get into a competition about who's been more oppressed.
No, we can't.
Because
we can't.
That
no.
just means
suffering
that somebody else
is
going to get oppressed somewhere down the road. And
true.
You know, we have to understand oppression as oppression as oppression. It's, and, wow, I think I'm white-splaining, so I better shut up.
Well, no, it's not that you're white-splaining, but suffering is suffering. But what bothers me is when the people who used to be suppressed, who are now entered into the club of whiteness, forget about that oppression.
Yeah.
And have to put their foot on the neck of the people that are still and will always be oppressed. I mean, black and brown people.
Yeah, or you know how I am, you know, poor people.
And poor people. And black and brown people who are.
Because remember, long before Donald Sterling ever said the first stupid word in this latest exhibition of stupidity, Donald Sterling was screwing all kinds of people who paid him rent.
Exactly.
He was an equal opportunity oppressor.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's one of those things, those one of the best kept secrets about Los Angeles, about how racist L.A. is, about how before World War II, Jews lived in Boyle Heights until, you know, their whiteness let them into the country clubs
it's a very real story that at some point in time Groucho Marx tried to join some exclusive tennis or swimming or country or polo club or something out there, and of course, you know, sorry Groucho, you may be the funniest man on the planet, but you ain't coming in.
You're not coming in. You're
and, Jewish. And Groucho, if I recall correctly, responded by saying, "Well, that's okay. I wouldn't want to join an institution that would have me as a member anyway."
Yeah. You know, and see, like Donald Sterling, I don't know what part where he grew up, but I can guarantee you a lot of the Jews that moved out of Boyle Heights and whatnot still kept a lot of their property there, and a lot of them are still renting to these people that they consider less than. But my money's green enough for you that I pay you every month for rent, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, my money don't have no color, but obviously, you know, but
no,
you wouldn't
actually,
let me
your
to
money,
dinner.
Your money does have some color, and that is the real color line in America today.
And see, in this,
it's the green people.
Thank you.
It's the green people versus the rest of us.
And this is, and this is where it's not about race. It has never, ever been about race. It's about the haves keeping what they have and letting a few of the have-nots have some so the other ones that used to have not can keep the ones that still have not down. Did I say that right?
I think you, yeah, that's, yeah, it, right. Yes.
You know? So when you sit back and I look again back to, you know, the Mitch, I'm a turtle McConnell. When you sit back and listen to this man say, you know, that the administration is a liar, that, you know, and like you said about the dog whistle. See, unfortunately, I don't know, or the fudge, I know I speak cold because I've been hearing the cold all my life. What pisses me off is that the rest of them, you know, the Mark Rubio and the Rand Paul, whatever his name is, they don't think we hear the dog whistle. We do. So when you call a brother a thug, that's just another way of calling him the N-word.
Well, sure.
the award-winning Chase mobile app.
It's all
I can't say nigger. I can say thug, though.
Oh, don't worry. In private, they use the other one.
Oh yeah, of course they use the other one in private. And if you got an open, if you get lucky enough to get an open mic, they use it in public too.
Sure. I mean, that's one of the reasons I would like the word to just. It's too deep a conversation, but I would like the word to just go away.
It's not going to.
No. It's a far cry comparison, but it's like the difference between having. Me using the word hillbilly. I refer to myself as a hillbilly. You know, I'm a hillbilly elitist. But it's a derogatory term that many of us have taken ownership of.
Yeah, and I wish I could take ownership of the word. But it's just like I said, you know, a few weeks back. In the last few years, really in the last two than I have in my entire life.
You broke up a little bit there.
Because now it's acceptable. Because now, did you hear what I said? Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I still hear you, but you broke up there for a minute.
I said, in the last few years, I have been called niggas more times than I have ever in my entire life. Ever.
And that's part of the frenzy that has gripped this nation starting long about 2008. I mean, it's like that graphic from Fox News last night that said, Obama administration warned about VA problems in 2008.
2008. He wasn't president in 2008.
Bingo. Yes. But it's still his fault.
I wish they would get their graphics right, because he didn't become president until 2009.
Well, you don't think that was a mistake, do you?
No, of course not.
Fox News can tell. Fox News can blame any. Eventually, Fox News will put up a graphic saying that the dark-skinned president invited the Japanese to attack Pearl Harbor.
No, yeah.
Or kidnapped the Lindbergh baby, or was actually the real Jack the Ripper. All things are possible when you're talking to a nonagenarian demographic that is just itching to be told that. You know, it's bias confirmation.
Well, I was listening. I was, you know, in Vegas when I woke up Sunday morning after, you know, sitting at the poker tables all night.
Okay, I gotta break in and ask. So, did you play Texas Hold'em all weekend?
No, I played 3-card poker.
Oh, okay.
And yes, I walked away with casino money.
You go, girl.
Yes, I did. But Texas Hold'em makes me crazy. It's just too many things I have to remember to do, and 3-card poker is easy. Even though the odds are better in Texas Hold'em. But anyway, so I wake up to Fox News, and apparently, I guess, I didn't hear the whole story.
What, did you pass out with Fox on? I mean, what?
I don't, well, remember, we're in a hotel. You don't know the channels, because I'm in another state, and I don't channels.
Okay.
So,
I just wanted to make sure you weren't, like, you know, getting to the end of the evening and getting kinky and watching Fox News.
No, God, no. So I wake up to Fox and Friends, and they were talking about racism.
And of course, it's all white folks, right, talking about racism?
All three white people talking about racism. And I guess Eric Holder did a commencement speech or something, and he brought up about racism or what happened. Like I said, I didn't hear the whole story. And then they were talking about how Condoleezza Rice was just booed or what have you. And they're like, well, we just don't understand why people don't, you know.
No, please tell me they were. Please tell me that they were blaming the Condoleezza Rice kerfuffle on race. Oh, my God. Now, the best expression of the whole Condoleezza Rice thing was the thing where the thing I read that said, you know, it's not about anything she said or was going to say at Rutgers. It's about her actions. It's about the things she did. It's about the fact that she has the blood of a million Iraqi innocent civilians on her hands, and that renders her unfit to speak to a group of in a situation of honor.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so, and that was the, you know, and like I said, since I didn't know the full story and I couldn't listen to them any longer, I changed the channel. And I normally, when I see stuff like that, I immediately start Googling about what the basis of their bullshit was. But again, I had been up all night with the free cocktails and winning money.
And the oxygen pumped into the gaming area, yes.
And I didn't care. Because whatever happened at Rutgers because of her, as a, you know, I pretty much figured she deserved it. So I turned over and went back to sleep. But they were talking about why we're all up in arms about race, and I don't understand why racism is over. I love it when white people say racism is over.
You know, pardon us. A lot of us are stupid. We think that as long as nobody's got out dogs and fire hoses, everything's cool.
Right. As long as you know, I can drink from the same water fountain as you can when I go down south, everything is A-okay.
See, I kind of lost it. Well, I didn't lose it, but I was doing some teeth gritting this afternoon when I was at the climate rally. Because somebody actually stood up, and I can't remember who it was. You got the radio on there, Tracy?
Say what?
I was going to say, could you kill the radio for a minute?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Oh, that just makes things ever so much easier.
Okay, I forgot about that.
It competes with the microphone. But okay. somebody, one of the politicians speaking at the rally today was talking about how climate was a matter that demanded that people speak, and they started talking about how the Freedom Riders came down from the north to Mississippi and talk about how abolitionism started in New England.
No.
And I'm sitting there thinking, wait a minute, because one of the problems we've run across in our work here is we'll go and we'll say, hey, won't you please introduce the AIC Act in the Senate? And they say, well, can't you get Rockefeller or Manchin to introduce it? And I heard that again today. Well, that seems like something that should be introduced by a senator from your area. And I looked up and I said, so in other words, 150 years ago, you would have told Jefferson Davis he needed to introduce the anti-slavery bill because he was from Mississippi, right? It got me a look. And I'm not equating environmental injustice.
No, but I love it. I love it. I love what you said. I love the fact that you said, okay, obviously we have tried. You know, you try to say, I know you were trying to be, you know, ever so.
Oh, I don't run around just trying to be an asshole for the sake of being an asshole. No. But what are you supposed to do when you, and then, you know, and then a few hours later I get told, you know, I'm standing there listening to somebody talking about the, you know, the great social movements that led to profound change in America. I'm thinking, why can't the hillbillies have that? Uh-oh, did lose Tracy then. But I mean, that's a fact. Why can't the hillbillies be... beneficiaries of a national effort to deal with a problem that is regional and yet national in scope. A note coming in from Steve. Steve just says, thank you. I saw an article in the Christian Science Monitor saying that the people of Rutgers not wanting her to speak was an issue of allowing alternative viewpoints. I'm so glad you said it was about her having the blood of a million people on her hands. Well, I'm not trying to score points. That's just how I come at it from an ethical perspective. That woman, oh, my God,
That woman is more bathed in blood than if she had stood in the pit of a Mithras initiation and have a bull bled out on top of her. She's bathed in innocent blood. And so is George Bush, and so is Dick Cheney, and so is Paul Wolfowitz and Donald Rumsfeld, and all of that filthy Project for a New American Century crew. Jeez. I think we got Tracy back. Hey, Tracy.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay.
So, like you would say, what I was trying to say is that I love what you said, because if we were waiting for somebody from the South to enacting the anti-slavery laws in this country, I'd still be a slave. So there's no way that somebody from coal country is going to want to enact such a thing.
Well, I mean, there was a sense of real loneliness today. Hey, not trying to be a pain. Radio again?
Oh, sorry.
There was a sense of real loneliness because I'm hearing about, everybody's worried about what climate change is doing to San Diego and the wildfires and what San Diego's doing, or what the climate change is doing to oysters and trout, all of which I'm very much concerned with. And at some point in time, somebody said something about gas for Putin, and
sometimes what?
Yeah, and I about had to holler. Guess what? We got mountains getting blown up in West Virginia, and the coal is being shipped to Putin.
And anything? Was there crickets?
Oh well, I didn't say anything. I couldn't. I'd have been politely. Or less than escorted from
politely
space.
Escorted out. Oh, you know, and thank you for mentioning that about Alison Lundgren Grimes, because I'm constantly getting emails from her about, and Emily's List, about me making donations to her campaign. So now, thank you, because as a result of what you said, I am going to email her.
Oh, dude, please. I mean, don't take me at my word on this.
And say, okay, so you want me to send money to a candidate for U.S. Senate that is asking coal industry for money for election? And tell me what you're
going to do about that. Well, at the very least, trying not to offend them.
Of course, but I'm going to say it in such a way as this is how I'll say it. What is your stance on mountaintop removal?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, do that. Absolutely do that. I'd appreciate it. And I'll be really curious what kind of an answer you get.
I'm looking forward to the answer.
You Hollywood liberal, you.
Hollywood. Well, if you send, because see, you're sending me email. I'm getting emails on a daily basis from different candidates about this and that. And please, contribute. And so, I'm not a voter, obviously, in the great state of Kentucky, or the state that could be great if Mitch McConnell wasn't a senator from there. Ooh. So if you want my money, you've got to give me some answers. Because, like, I tweeted to Wendy Davis about, okay, again, she's asking, her from Emily List and stuff, they're asking me to send money for her campaign. Okay, so once you become governor, what are you going to do about the stand your ground and shoot first and ask no question later's laws?
And you know what? It's not. There's nothing wrong with asking those questions. I got a feeling, since you're on somebody's database, Tracy, sooner or later you're going to get a note saying, "Can you spare $5 for dear Natalie Tennant? She's running for Senate in West Virginia as a Democrat." And you have if you receive that solicitation, you have an absolute untrammeled right to say, before I give you a damn dime, I want to know what you're going to do about mountaintop removal.
And that's what I'm going to do.
We could change the dynamics of this whole thing with just a little bit of pushback.
And trust and believe. I am, see, you know, I get so wrapped up in stuff that a lot of times I forget to turn on, or my phone is doing stupid stuff, so I can't get a connection while I'm driving. Thank you, AT&T. But it was meant for me to get to hear this particular show because of what you said about Allison Grimes. Because I sure as hell am going to send that email. I said, I will gladly contribute to your campaign, but I need to know what you're going to do about mountaintop removal. And the same thing with Wendy Davis. I'm going to say, I will gladly contribute to your campaign, but I need to know what you're going to do about the stand your grounds and shoot whenever you feel like shooting a black person lost. And I'm going to ask the same thing of Jimmy Carter's grandson. Same question.
Hey, you know, here's a dandy for you. Somewhere along the way, you'll probably get a solicitation for Michelle Nunn in Georgia.
And she is, trust me, because I actually pulled up the other day the states that allow stand your ground laws, and I guarantee you, I forgot what I did with it, but I'll just go home and pull it up again.
Well, you know, I mean, look, Jimmy Carter's grandson in that race in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
He's
blowing them out the water, isn't it?
Yeah, but he proudly supported the guns everywhere law.
Okay, see, there you go. And I'm going to send that email too.
The other day they asked Michelle Nunn, who is ostensibly a Democrat, how she felt about Obamacare, and she, I don't know. I mean, I wasn't there. I don't know what I would have done.
Uh-huh.
Now, how hard is it to say, I believe that every American who gets sick has a fundamental human right to go to the damn
doctor
and not be financially destroyed because they do?
And if you don't like the way Obamacare
is being done, Tracy, how in the sweet name of God, how is that a liberal position?
That's what I don't understand. That is, how is it liberal to care about your constituents?
How is it liberal to not want people to be financially ruined? I thought that was the conservative position.
Exactly. If you're a conservative, then you want people to save money, yes?
Yeah.
Us liberals are the ones that just, you know, spend money like drunken sailors.
Going to Vegas, playing three-card poker, and walking away with casino money and waking up with the Fox News on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, that was my punishment. That's what happened.
That's it. That's why you woke up with the Fox on. But I am glad to know that you're not just sitting there in Vegas in front of behind one of those godforsaken machines, punching that stupid little button every 15 seconds, waiting for the big one. I kind of knew you had too much of a competitive streak to be doing that. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but you know, we lost Tracy again. She does have a cussed connection out there. You get the idea that AT&T oversubscribed its 4G LTE network? Hey, here's Devin. Hey, Devin.
Hey.
What's happening?
I was like, well, not much.
You've been on a roll tonight. of course, you kind of got this whole borderer thing down to a science now. Two or three reads of Joe Bajan's Eat, Pray, Fuck, Fight, and you're down with it.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, it's not like it's anything I didn't already know. It's just reiterated.
Yeah, but you'd be surprised how many folks don't.
Well, most people you know, walk around like the ostrich with its head in its own, you know, asshole, which was a really nice cartoon on Truth Out, so. But, yeah, it's like where you're talking about the black lung, for example. Most people in the rest of the world don't know how horrible that is. Until you've lived with somebody who's had that and watched them die, and you know, watch that little monitor go to a flat line, you know, it's kind of hard to understand.
And because it's something that is endemic to coal country, most folks will never know what it is. But it is a hateful, horrible, god-awful way to die. And to have that miserable, pinched up, dried up, sorry old sack of bones say that coal doesn't make you sick.
Well, somebody needs to grab him up and take the funnel and start pouring it in there.
Yeah, breathe up, Addison.
Well, you know, it's a shame I didn't save any of my handiwork while I was in the coal industry, because the stuff I was working with wouldn't give you black lung because it was too small to be causing black lung.
Oh, those delightful little ultrafines?
Well, I was taking the big pieces of coal and making them into submicron particles.
Yeah, that's the stuff.
And I'd run that pulverizer, you know, at the basement of the lab there, and it didn't matter what kind of filters you had on. I mean, the stuff...
No, it's like the Chinese people walking around with their surgical masks and all that aerial filth. That's not going to block anything. Because things that are less than 100 microns in size blow right through that. You breathe it. There's no getting away from it.
Yeah, and the thing was, the shit would hang in the air forever. I mean, it was just a brown cloud. And the thing about that is, you know, when you get done, you have to clean the thing in between running samples, so you have to blow it out with an air gun, which, you know, launched the finest material into the air where it stayed. There wasn't adequate ventilation, not that there really could be with that stuff around. And, you know, when you put on I'll tell you what happened. I'd wear, t-shirts and jeans, you know, work clothes. And all that stuff I had, just one day, it would just turn into lint. Because of all those tiny particles worked their way into the fibers and destroyed the fibers from the inside out.
Yeah, just ground it to dust. And see, yeah. that's the difference between silicosis and black lung. Black lung turns your lung to basically ash. I mean, I've seen testimony by doctors where they say that, you know, talk about, you know, working on a postmortem, and you can touch a portion of lung, the black lung, and it just falls apart. On the other hand, silicosis turns your lungs to concrete.
Yeah. Now, this material goes through the cell wall and enters your bloodstream and deposits throughout your carcass.
Yeah, and that's the essential nature of an ultrafine particle. It crosses the cellular barrier. It is the size of a virus. It passes through the heart-lung barrier. In women, it passes through the placental barrier. So if mommy's breathing it, necessarily baby is breathing it. And it goes all over your
passes
body.
Passes through the blood-brain barrier as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And, well, you know, at least I won't be trying to hack out, a bunch of crunchy stuff. I mean, you know, I don't know what'll happen.
And there's our dinner hour conversation.
Yeah. You know, I guess I probably know what will happen because it's already happening. You know. Of course, there's no way to prove it.
How long did you work around this stuff, Devin?
I worked around it about 3 months. So, not as bad as everybody else, but it really doesn't take that much. And,
Were other people on the job getting sick, too?
Well, they typically didn't keep anybody very long. But there was this one guy who worked in a different room. His job was to do specific gravity float separation of the coal. So that, you know, he would put this stuff in the chemical, the perchloroethylene and whatever else that sort of yellow-looking stuff that was mixed with it that I don't remember what it was called. And, you know, you would make the coal float and the other crap would sink.
Hey, you know what's really good at that? Methylchlorohexane methanol.
Yeah. Well, it may have been in there. I don't know. But I can tell you that this guy worked there about 5 years, and he was all bug-eyed. His eyeballs were like popping out of his head, and he was just completely out of his mind. You know, madder than a hatter. And you know, I worked in there with him a little bit, and it didn't matter what kind of mask or anything you put on. It didn't do any good, so eventually you took it off because, you know, it didn't do anything. And, it was on a hell of a buzz you'd get off of it, I'm telling you.
Oh. You mean, in Joe Dirt when he goes in the circus tent and starts talking about the popcorn? David Spade.
Yeah.
The big striped tent.
Yeah, and well, you know, they gave us, the full face respirators with the, the carbon filters for organic vapors and such, and they didn't cut it.
Well, it really is hard to filter out anything that's under 100 and sometimes less than 10 microns in size. I mean, if a cell wall can't stop it, excuse me?
Yeah. Yeah. I was talking about the others, the chemical vapors.
Yeah.
So it's not something you want to do, but, you know, it was the only option I had at the time. And
that's by design, Devin. That's that's part of, God made Appalachia to train the faithful.
Yeah.
That's part of the whole pass-fail thing you were talking about.
Yeah, when you're looking for your first job, and it's not with the wealthy family member who owns most of everything. People look at you as like, why don't you work for that guy? You know, you ought to work for him. Which there's no right answer to that. Because the assumption is that there's something wrong with you.
Well, in a way, that's corollary to the question that Appalachian people get. Well, why don't you move away from there?
Yeah. What you can't do if you don't have the means, and nobody anywhere else is going to hire anybody who hasn't had some kind of experience.
Right,
which is
and there's a
nasty trap.
Right, and then there's nowhere else in the country that's sitting there saying, "Gosh, I sure wish 1.8 million hillbillies would move out here."
Yeah, I mean, you get one of two reactions. I did go job hunting in Tucson once, and you get one of two reactions. You mean you're from Virginia?
Yeah, I got an aunt in Roanoke.
or they're very nice to you, and they send you out, and they don't bother to have any more communication with you because, they assume you're one of those hillbilly people,
mm-hmm. Sure.
So, I mean, when you, the people who leave here, they don't exactly have it very easy either.
No, and like I said before, the people who rode the hillbilly highway up to jobs in Akron and Cleveland, they spent the rest of their lives pining for home.
Yeah. And most of them ended up coming back eventually after Detroit, our manufacturing base, was nuked by Reagan.
Man, it all comes back to him, doesn't it?
Yeah. I worked in a place that made injection molded plastic coat hangers. I worked there for a grand total of a week. And they put me with a couple of guys who used to work for, one of them worked for General Motors, one of them worked for Ford. And when they lost their jobs up there, they were making, 30 or 40 bucks an hour. They come back to West Virginia and they're making coat hangers for, $8 an hour. And that was because they had been there for a long time. And, of course, I was getting, $6 an hour, and I had to drive an hour each way.
Yeah, but if you'd stayed there for the full 20, you could have gone up to $8.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was an interesting experience, and it's one of those things where it's a job where I could literally feel my brain cells dying. It's that kind of monotonous, just nightmarish thing. But the real come to Jesus moment was when I had to go over there and it was black ice for 30 of the 40 miles. And I was going along in four-wheel drive, so at least I had some sort of gyroscopic action to steer the thing. And there was people in a Ranger in front of me, this husband and wife. And I saw the brake lights. I knew it was all over for them then. So I ended up having to take them to the hospital, because it would have taken an ambulance probably an hour just to get there and then another hour to get back. Damn near wiped out a couple of times. One time it was a power pole coming up pretty quick. It ain't nothing like people who done been in a wreck start screaming because they're about to be in another wreck.
Oh, no kidding.
And I got them to the hospital. It took a while. And, you know, when I finally got there and went to punch in, they had to go through a bunch of stuff because they'd reported me as somebody who quit. And then the next working day, they laid off 2/3 of the workforce.
Oh, nice.
And then, then they said after a few days, you can come over. We might have something for you. You don't drive an hour for might.
Not at that
price.
Right, because it's not like you're living in that in Kuwait, you know, with the 10 cents a gallon gas.
Right. You know, it's not like I was driving a Geo Metro either. You know, you've got 4.3 liters of General Motors' finest way-to-waste gasoline.
Hey, I get 8 miles a gallon downhill with a tailwind.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, you know what a GMC Sonoma is.
Oh, yes.
Well, that's what it was, and
you step on the gas and you watch the needle move.
It's a 350 with two cylinders cut off.
Yeah.
And a big power washer nozzle for an injector.
Nice.
You go behind this thing and you grab it by the rear bumper and you pick it up and walk around with it like a wheelbarrow.
Now, wait a minute. No, stop it. Stop it, Devin. You're going to make people think you're Paul freaking Bunyan.
Well, no. There's nothing back there.
No, I know. No, I've driven pickup trucks a lot of my life, and I learned early on that for icy, slick, snowy conditions, the best thing you could do was, in one truck, I had a little wooden frame, and I had iron stage weights that had been thrown away when a theater was torn down, and I just put them right over that rear axle in the bed of the truck. You know, anything to get some weight back there.
On this particular occasion, I still had bags of surplus coal samples in the back of it, which I...
Well, that's like...
As soon as the snow was gone, I went back to the place that laid me off, and I threw them back in the building. The people upstairs... Well, looking out the window, scowling at me.
Think about a couple of years ago. Do you remember when the Missouri River froze solid, and they were all worried about river traffic, and they used coal ash to melt the ice on the Missouri River?
Oh, one of the other things I did when I was working at this coal facility, they had a massive outdoor coal burner to heat the place. And I had to tend that beast. And you had to be sure that you opened the ash door before you opened the top door. And there were people on other shifts who strangely didn't have hair in places they ought to have hair. Because if you got that sequence wrong, there would be this fireball that would shoot across the parking lot about, 20 feet or so.
Because you zigged when you should have zagged?
Yeah, when all that superheated nasty stuff suddenly detonated and
fired out of there. I don't like working in the same proximity with things that detonate. I mean, okay, the occasional firecracker and bottle rocket, but yeah. No.
Well, it's just another day in West Virginia. I mean,
well, sure.
Well, the other brilliant thing they got a new piece of equipment, and those bags of stuff that you break the little seal and then it turns into form-fitting packaging.
Oh yeah.
Well, they had like a pickup truck load of those things, and they wanted them got rid of. They said put them in the stove. I put them in the stove.
And ran? Like hell?
There was this wonderful, bright yellow smoke which billowed out of this thing. Because, the fan was on and, you could forge steel in the thing. So this wonderful cloud of bright yellow smoke come out and went over straight into the neighbor's house. And, this keeps going because, it's like, should I do that? And they said, put it in there. So I'm going to put it in there.
Are you like me? Do you have neighbors who shoot 20-pound propane tanks for recreation?
Well, no, because I don't have any that could afford them.
Count yourself blessed. Oh, by the way, I think somewhere on the In the wild highways and byways of Hollywood liberal land, I think we made Tracy scream again.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I got a one-sentence subject line only email from Tracy. Coal ash to melt ice. And I think there's like 19 exclamation points behind to melt ice. Yes, coal, because coal is your friend. And, after all, there's an American Coal Ash Association.
Yeah, the nice thing is Greenland is going to melt really fast with all the carbon black that lands on it.
Yeah.
We're looking at Greenland being ice-free, before 2100.
That's like somebody, one of the folks speaking at the rally today was being kind of cute, and, it was kind of a ha-ha moment. They were talking about the climate deniers, and it's just because of the sick, twisted way my mind works. They said, isn't it about time that we tell the Republicans to wake up and smell the carbon? And my first thought was, Jesus, no. On the other hand, I was thinking, that's one way to deal with a militant majority.
Get them some of that nice, finely pulverized high sulfur coal and just, lay them out some lines on the mirror. They probably won't know the difference.
Oh, dude. where did you get this? This is awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, Plutonian Norblap. You remember the scene out of Heavy Metal, right?
No, I don't.
Oh, where the aliens?
I do remember. What was it? God of War, where the guy had The guy had the border of Ukraine laid out on a coffee table and was snorting his way around it.
Yeah. Only this is aliens flying a spaceship impaired after dumping out like a ton of this stuff with one of those automated machines that lays out the lines on a football field.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Well,
hillbilly humor. I mean, we're breathing it.
Yeah.
Dishwashing detergent, you're soaking in it. Coal toxins, you're breathing it.
Explosions. Not just for meth labs anymore.
No. I mean, you know, what you might think is a meth lab going up in Appalachia could just be your neighbors having a high old time with a 30-06 and a 20-pound propane cylinder.
Or frac tank exploding.
Oh, Jesus.
Did you hear about the one in Doddridge County?
No.
Yeah, there was a frac tank explosion up there. Nobody was hurt, but, you know. Literally,
no. Nobody was hurt yet.
Who were not 50 feet from there, like 2 weeks earlier.
Jeez. So. Well, Devin, I got to roll out of here, brother, because we're
fracking airs.
Oh, they're fractastic in northern West Virginia, and Jesus. Well, listen, you have yourself a good evening.
One little quote for you.
Yeah?
John Muir, nothing dollarable is safe. I'll leave you with that one.
Yeah, that's the more elegant way of saying because money.
Yeah, and help save the last gray hillbilly, please.
Sierra Club will be putting out that any day now.
All right.
See you, Devin. Bye now. Our buddy Devin from elsewhere in West Virginia. It is time to get out of here. By the way, but I got to share this because it came in from Tim in L.A. Fan mail for Tracy. Bob, I love Tracy more and more. Tell her she's doing a great job on the program. But what got me to love her more and more was her disdain for the comment, racism is over. And Tim refers back to the story of the woman in Chicago getting told that she would be shipped out of the United States in a box. You're not effing American. You're here on borrowed time. I have a feeling Tim will be posting that, and hopefully it'll go up on the Horn Facebook page. Thanks, everybody, for helping us meet the fundraising goal for this evening. It makes life considerably better when we can do that. Thanks to Darlene and Tracy and Asa and Beth and Sal and Marty, who got us all started, and thanks to Tony earlier in the day. I get to pay some bills. Yay. And, Thorn in the Side Thursday comes around tomorrow. I hope you'll be here for the conversation. We'll be out doing meetings all day tomorrow. I think we got some stuff to work with after today's rally. Got some educating to do. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Lottie and Sparky and Texas Betsy in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thank you. Thank you very much to John Fox and Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org for Ben. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And acheact.org, acheact.org. Go over there and share around my latest piece on what we were talking about this evening, Mitch McConnell's detestable slap in the face to Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Rick Smith is next on The Horn.